secular. Department of Justice reverses its censorship over those Orlando transcripts, and ISIS regaining territory in Syria.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
A quick reversal. I mean, we're talking a matter of hours here from the FBI on the release of the transcript of calls between the Orlando mass murderer and members of law enforcement.
Look, the reason they did a pivot is because it was beyond stupid. It was ridiculous. It was an embarrassment. As you say, everybody could see what the words underneath were. And what exactly are they accomplishing in pretending they weren't said? And it exposes the administration as fanatical in trying to cover up and hide the connection with Islam.
The real transcript read like this. I pledge allegiance to Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi. May God protect him on behalf of the Islamic State. But even the new version is not completely unedited.
He wasn't shouting, God is the greatest in English. He was shouting, Allahu Akbar. So the idea that suddenly he translates it into English for the dispatcher is absurd. Common sense won a victory against the political narrative of the DOJ, but they're still trying to fleece us. They're still conning us by saying he said God. He didn't say God to the dispatcher. He clearly said Allah.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
A new report given to Congress reveals ISIS has produced six different regional armies threatening governments in Libya, in Egypt, Yemen, Nigeria, Saudi Arabia, and Afghanistan.
The people in the intelligence community I've talked to in the last week, they're spooked. They know it's coming. They know it's coming this summer.
So what Brennan was saying did not surprise them.
No.
Because, I mean, that was a clear contradiction to any other message we had been given from the commander-in-chief last week.
And Brennan, why is he doing this? He wants to say, look, it's not my fault. I warned you guys about this. So he's trying to give himself some political cover.
Huh.
They think something's going to happen. They don't know what. They don't have a handle on it. And they're wanting to get out in front of it, despite what the president said.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Have you ever thought your voice made a difference or did not make a difference? Well, I guess you heard it did make a difference because hours after we went off the air yesterday, I mean, literally within hours, the FBI and the Department of Justice completely reversed its censorship of those transcripts. We talked about that on the broadcast yesterday where the transcripts had removed the pledging of allegiance to it. The transcript now correctly reads Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi. He says exactly this. Asked what his name is, talking to the police dispatcher, saying to Omar Mateen, what is your name? He said, my name is, I pledge allegiance to Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi of the Islamic State. Okay, what's your name? I pledge allegiance to Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi. May God protect him. Although they kept the word, in the transcript they put God, but he actually did use the phrase. He transferred into Arabic there and said Allah. And then the reports are, of course, he was saying Allah Akbar. But again, your voice mattered. And this was a ridiculous error on the part of the Department of Justice, but it again highlighted, and I wanted to talk about that, they highlighted the fact that, Jordan, they're engaged in absolute political correctness. We just called them on it, and they responded.
Yeah, that's right. And this was key because these decisions that were used by Omar Mateen in this situation, the attack in Orlando, are important. For instance, the pledging of allegiance to Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi is specific to what ISIS fighters are instructed to do before carrying out an attack, to make that known that they're not just pledging allegiance to ISIS, but they pledge allegiance to the ISIS leader. And he would have been informed of that through either ISIS propaganda or some kind of direct contact, whether that was online, whether that was meetings during trips to Saudi Arabia with officials with ISIS, to know, to make sure that was part of the recording. It was key for him to make sure, because he knew that this would be recorded, so that this would be broadcasted, so that the world would know who was ultimately responsible for this attack, which is important for all of us to know. And by the way, just breaking now, we don't have a lot more information, but three heavily armed individuals arrested in one of the New York City tunnels, just now breaking over Fox News.
All right, we'll find that out in just a few moments. We'll be following, our news team's following that right now. Let me also say this, Logan, people are asking on Facebook, but you say they're saying they're not going to release the audio.
No, you're not going to release the audio for obvious reasons. Like, you don't want to sensationalize this, and it very well could be when you have that situation. Who knows what actually sounds like the actual noises you hear.
Horrific.
You can imagine. And like Jordan said, that is something that's breaking right now. Three heavily armed people reportedly arrested in the New York and the New Jersey entrance to Holland Tunnel into New York City. So we'll keep you updated as that breaks.
All right, we'll be back with that in just a moment. Islamic State jihadists behead, mutilate, torture, and rape Christians. The brutal toll? More than 1 million Christians have been slaughtered or displaced. ISIS is engaged in the blatant genocide of Christians in the Middle East. We successfully pressured the Obama administration to recognize this genocide against Christians. Now we have an obligation to act under the Genocide Convention. We're launching a brand new multi-pronged legal advocacy campaign urging the U.S., UN, and world leaders to adopt our critical policy proposals. Number one, stop the genocide. And number two, protect Christians. Christians die daily at the hands of genocidal jihadists. The ACLJ is fighting back. Together, we can stop the slaughter. Sign on to our petition to stop the genocide and protect Christians. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org. Americans' freedom, under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic, How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government.
Taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. So what happened? Yesterday, this is what happened. You had a situation where the FBI issued a redacted version of the transcript of the 911 call. They're not going to release the audio. I think Logan's right. It's horrific. It would just inflame the situation. But they did release the transcript, which is normal. They edited out the transcript where the specific references were to in the name of God, the merciful, the beneficent. And that was, by the way, in all in Arabic, so that's Allahu Akbar. And also, when asked his name, they also said, he said, my name is, and I pledge allegiance to Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi of the Islamic State. Never gave his name. Also, which was omitted, praise be to God and prayers as well to peace upon the Prophet of God. Again, this was in Arabic. So some of the folks are saying this is still not a complete situation where they have completely given the transcript over. I think that part's true, but I will say, in my view, the right result has at least taken place. They should have released the words he actually used. I understand not releasing the audio, by the way, but your voice was heard on this. This was the government engaged in political correctness here. And Than, we talked about this last week on the broadcast. It starts with the training. I had that training manual last week. I still have it. I could show it to people. Where they specifically removed, this is from the Department of Homeland Security, and they removed the phrases like Sharia, like jihad, like Ummah, which is, don't use the word Muslim communities, or use the word Muslim communities rather than Muslim world. Don't say American Muslims, say Muslim Americans. So this political correctness is what they did in the transcript, they did here as well.
Well, that's right, Jay. And remember, they told us initially that the reason they redacted the transcripts was strategic in nature, was that they didn't want to advance the propaganda. Well, if that was true, if it was really a strategic reason and a national security reason, then no amount of criticism from anybody would cause them to reverse course. But we called them on that. The American people called them on it. And the very fact that they reversed it and they now released the unredacted version shows that they were only trying to dilute the truth to advance their narrative, Jay. This is an important advancement. Yep. And I do think that the actual transcript should still come out. This wasn't a crazy person. This was an Islamic jihadist pledging allegiance to the leader of the caliphate.
Let me play something for you. This is John Kerry. Folks, this will light the phones up. John Kerry at an iftar dinner, the end of Ramadan. It's a Ramadan dinner. Listen to what he says, and then I'm going to juxtapose that with John Brennan just last week. This is John Kerry, iftar dinner at the All Dulles Area Muslim Society just yesterday.
There is absolutely no evidence, my friends, zero evidence, that refugees who make it through this arduous process pose any greater threat to our society than the members of any other group. And it is important for people to know that.
So Muslims coming in as refugees pose no different threat than an Israeli coming in or someone from Scotland. Now, that's the Secretary of State. John Brennan, just last week, here's what he had to say about refugee status.
ISIL has a large cadre of Western fighters who could potentially serve as operatives for attacks in the West. And the group is probably exploring a variety of means for infiltrating operatives into the West, including in refugee flows, smuggling routes, and legitimate methods of travel.
So there you have it. The Secretary of State says there's no evidence of the use of refugee routes for travel. The head of the CIA says exactly the opposite. And then James Comey, the FBI director, here's what he had to say about it late last year.
There is risk associated with bringing anybody in from the outside, but especially from a conflict zone like that. From the intelligence community's perspective, I think we've developed an effective way to touch all of our databases and resources to figure out what we know about individuals. Right? And so that's my piece of it. I don't think that's a cumbersome process. My concern there is that there are certain gaps that I don't want to talk about publicly in the data available to us.
So, Jordan, there it is. I mean, he lays out that you got the FBI director and the CIA director saying there's huge gaps. Secretary Kerry partying the basically repeating the Obama line, no evidence that Muslim entry into the United States would pose any risk. CIA and FBI say exactly the opposite.
Yeah, and this goes to that confusion that exists, I think, in the entire country between what we hear from law enforcement officials and intelligence officials to the FBI and the CIA versus what we hear from the political officials that represent the Obama administration and the Secretary Kerry and others. So you've got one, and again, CIA director, FBI coming out and saying, no, this is one of the top threats is the refugee flow amongst others, like our border. And then we hear from Secretary of State Kerry that it's absolutely not any kind of threat, specific threat to the United States. It adds to confusion and also that concern that I think is it's just fueling all across the country. People are very concerned about this specific issue of whether it's homegrown right here in the United States or those coming from abroad.
So who do you believe? Do you believe the CIA director? Do you believe the director of the FBI on this? Or do you believe Secretary of State John Kerry? We'll take your calls and comments at 1-800-684-3110. And why is the Obama administration continuing this narrative? You ask yourself that question. Why do they continue the narrative? 1-800-684-3110.
This came in from Bob Kosh, who says, anyone who expected less from this government and administration is hiding their head in the sand. This from Gail said this was the propaganda machine trying to distort the terrorist threat that we face.
I think those are both correct. I think what you've got is a situation where they're hiding the reality and the American people have just figured it out. We certainly saw that yesterday. All right, we're going to go to the phones, 1-800-684-3110. What I wanted to do for you, and we just did it, was lay out the evidence. And you heard it. You heard Secretary Kerry say, oh, there's no evidence of any people's group, he's talking to the Muslim society, of that being a problem coming into the United States. You have John Brennan from the CIA, and you have James Comey, the director of the FBI, saying, yeah, we can't verify who's coming in, and we think they are going to actually use our routes of entry as a way to get fighters in. So there you have it. Decide who you want to believe. But I'm laying out the evidence for you and laying out the case for you. All right, let's go right to the phones.
Let's go to Tommy in New York City. You're on the air, Tommy.
Hi, Tommy.
Yeah, hey, Tom. Hey, how are you?
Good.
So you've spoken today about their decision to release the full transcript, and I noticed the media on the left, especially the largest organization on the left, still refuses to admit that they themselves wanted the complete transcript. They blame it on Paul Ryan or someone on the right, but they themselves, from their standpoint, they feel, and this is the media that always says they want full transparency, seemingly doesn't say that, yes, this was the right move. They blame it on Paul Ryan's outcry and some outcry on the people on the right, which I find surprising because at this point they're justifying the suppression of speech, which is kind of defeats the whole purpose they're even.
Yeah, I mean, you got them. You're talking about the New York Times. So, you know, double standard is an understatement. Yeah, but I will say CNN's Dana Bash pressed hard on this the other day with Loretta Lynch. Loretta Lynch made the statement, the attorney general, that she did not want this stuff, the transcript released, unless it was redacted. So they redacted it. It backfired. I mean, and the fact is, Paul Ryan fan on Capitol Hill did say this is ridiculous.
Yeah, he absolutely did. I think there are some in the media who are a little slow on this, Jay, and I think it is fair to point out that the administration, specifically the FBI, is still controlling the translation here. Again, this is not some religious fanatic. This is an Islamic jihadist. And by redacting the initial transcripts, they were hiding that fact. And I actually think most of that has been corrected. But we do need to continue to point out, all religious fanaticism is not created equal here. This is an Islamic jihadist. And the transcript, if released in its entirety, proves that conclusively. Yeah. John Kerry wants to talk about evidence. That's the evidence right there.
And Jordan, I try to get behind, and we try to get behind, what is motivating the administration to do this? So you look at the John Kerry statement. Let me play for you what Josh Earnest said about the release of the transcript. And then I want your comment, because I think this is important, folks, to understand, what is the administration thinking here? Why are we being deceived? Is this just like the Iran videotape being deleted and edited? Take a listen to Josh Earnest.
The decision about the release of the transcripts is one that was made solely by Department of Justice and FBI officials. They're doing that consistent with their assessment about the best way to advance the investigation. And so for questions about the transcripts, I'd refer you to them.
So, Jordan, what is that? That is, I refer to them statement means I don't want to answer it.
Yeah, right, that we don't want any responsibility for this. It was the, I think, political pressure, the public's pressure, the media pressure, the fact that it just made no sense, and it looked like the administration, again, trying to deflect from the truth. It was clear we could all figure out what was there, but the way that this was displayed is if, oh, we're releasing transcripts, but we're not going to tell exactly, you know, who's pledged allegiance to. But all we had really was other reports about that. This confirms all of that. I don't think they wanted to confirm that to the American people, that this was specifically ISIS-related. And that's because they're not changing any of their strategies to combat ISIS.
I need to say that as we're going into a break, that we were at the UN yesterday and again today on the issue of Christian genocide by the Islamic State. We reported, and I'll get more into it in the next segment of the broadcast, that the Islamic State has regained territory in Syria, specifically around Raqqa, which is the stronghold. This is a very bad sign for our military action and the coalition action. So this is a very dangerous sign. The genocide that's going on by ISIS against Christians, Yazidis, and others is so significant that we've raised it both at the U.S. level, where we've had success in getting it recognized finally by Secretary of State Kerry, but now we're at the UN, and we could really use your help. If you get my emails, you're getting this one today. I encourage you to sign that petition there. Many of you did yesterday. If not, just go over to aclj.org. That's aclj.org. You can sign it there. Standing with the persecuted church in the Middle East as we protect them and get the international pressure on, as well as the international relief on in region. We think in region aid's a key. All right, Logan, we're going to take more calls when we come back.
That's right. Give us a call right now, 1-800-684-3110. Again, 1-800-684-3110. Or join us broadcasting live right now on Facebook and Periscope.
Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic, How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government. Islamic State jihadists behead, mutilate, torture, and rape Christians. The brutal toll? More than 1 million Christians have been slaughtered or displaced. ISIS is engaged in the blatant genocide of Christians in the Middle East. We successfully pressured the Obama administration to recognize this genocide against Christians. Now we have an obligation to act under the Genocide Convention. We're launching a brand new multi-pronged legal advocacy campaign urging the U.S., UN, and world leaders to adopt our critical policy proposals. Number one, stop the genocide. And number two, protect Christians. Christians die daily at the hands of genocidal jihadists. The ACLJ is fighting back. Together, we can stop the slaughter. Sign on to our petition to stop the genocide and protect Christians. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. 989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. During the break, we were talking to our audience on our website and on Facebook and Periscope about the Trump campaign getting crushed by Clinton money machines, so says Politico in a lead story. Second half of the broadcast, we're going to get into that. I do want to turn our attention to what's happening in the Middle East. I mentioned our campaign on the genocide issue, but what's happened right now is that the Islamic State, ISIS, has regained large areas in northern Syria, specifically around the province of Raqqa. That is a big area that the extremists had lost to government and opposition activists and soldiers. And the group's news agency is reporting, of course, ISIS is making this a big victory. But the fact of the matter, it is. Losing control or the areas around Raqqa does not bode well for what's going on the ground, and that creates more of a problem. And I think what we've got to realize right now is the plan also of the presidents in Syria, Jordan, does not work, period. It has not worked.
No, it hasn't. I mean, so we have a strategy which has continued to destabilize Syria. The civil war continues to rage between the Assad regime and various factions, ISIS included, and you know some of these other Syrian groups that are also Sunni as well. You've got Iran involved. You've had Russia significantly involved. And what we have heard from the intelligence community is that there may be some gains because there's been so many airstrikes on ISIS facilities on the ground there in Syria and Iraq, but there have not on the battlefield, as they call it. But when it comes to international terrorism, that just continues continues to be a serious threat and has not been hampered at all by the campaigns focused on Syria and Iraq.
You know, an interesting development here. I want to take a phone call, but this Ash Carter statement is pretty interesting. He's also contradicting the administration's narrative too. But let's take a phone call first, Logan, and then we will go ahead and I'm going to play the Ask Carter bite.
All right, JJ's calling from Orlando, Florida. JJ, you're on the air.
Hi, JJ.
Yes, hi.
Hey.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that I feel the media and the government keep distracting us with he may have been a lone wolf. They try to downplay it, saying that, so like nothing to worry about. Or, it's not as serious as being directly connected.
Yep.
And it's really no difference if you're one of those 49 people that lost their life.
You're exactly right.
That is your brother. It doesn't make any difference. And I do think, like my dear old dad used to say, anything deliberately complicated is inherently evil.
Let me ask you this, JJ, because you're in Orlando. What is a week and a couple of days out from this mass terror attack? And by the way, they're not lone wolves. So we need these aren't people coming up with these ideas on their own. They are either directed by or inspired by groups like ISIS or Al-Qaeda. That's who's doing this. So it's not this lone wolf idea. Is it individual members? Who knows how deep this goes? We'll find out. It looks like his wife was heavily involved, so that ends the lone wolf theory. Was San Bernardino a lone wolf? Was Nidal Hassan a lone wolf? Were the Sarnet brothers, a duo? No, there's a lot more to it than that. But you're in Orlando, and Logan has spent a lot of time in Orlando. What's the reaction 8 days later?
Oh, well, everybody's still stunned about it. I mean, I have said, several people have said to me, he was offended by two men kissing in Miami. It's like, well, why didn't he do this in Miami? Not that I wish it in any other city.
But of course you don't you don't wish it in anybody. But that also was, I think, also a false narrative as well.
It's part of the narrative that doesn't really make any sense when it comes down to it. This is a different sort of radicalism, and yes, Will and I both spent years in Orlando, so it definitely hits home. And still, my social media feed—that's all it is right now.
Really,
it's still Orlando.
Yeah. So JJ, thanks for the call, and our thoughts and prayers again with the families in Orlando. And don't buy into this what I call distractive maneuvering here. Let me play Ash Carter's statement. He's the Secretary of Defense. This is, I think, again, countering the narrative. We're laying out the evidence for you, countering that narrative of the administration's.
And Orlando further steels our resolve to carry out all the aspects of our coalition military campaign plan. First, destroy ISIL's parent tumor in Iraq and Syria, which is necessary. Not sufficient, because second, we need to combat ISIL's metastases worldwide, wherever it appears. And third, help protect the homeland and our people.
I want to find the bite from the president saying that, or Josh Earnest, where it says that they've been marginalized significantly. ISIS, now that was from the Secretary of Defense. You just heard that, folks, saying that, number one, we need to steal our reserve. to get the coalition has to work harder, destroying ISIS, the parent tumor, which is necessary, not sufficient, because the second we need to combat ISIS metastasis worldwide, wherever it appears, and third, help to protect the homeland. Here is the President of the United States 1 week ago. Now, that was his Secretary of Defense. Now listen to the President of the United States.
ISIL is on defense. ISIL's ranks are shrinking as well. Their morale is sinking. As one defender, as one defector said, ISIL is not bringing Islam to the world, and people need to know that.
Which is exactly the opposite of what Secretary of Defense Ash Carter, Jordan, and then I'll go to Fan, just said.
Yeah, it is. Exactly the opposite. I mean, so we're hearing that ISIL is continuing to expand its international reach, that it's able to conduct, to recruit, to carry out terror attacks abroad. And then we're being told by the President of the United States that that's not the case, that they are being weakened. So it doesn't make a lot of sense. This is not, you know, Ash Carter, whether it's John Brennan from the CIA. These are not individuals outside of the administration criticizing the policy. These are people right within. These are cabinet officials, yep, the head of the CIA. People have been longtime advisors, in John Brennan's case, to President Obama, coming out and making statements that are directly at odds.
So, Than, you're in Washington right now. What is the temperature read on these inconsistent statements and these narratives that the administration is trying to put out? But clearly, the leader, the cabinet members of the administration, all other than John Kerry, the head of the CIA, the FBI, these are major players within the administration, are putting out exactly the opposite story.
I think people are starting to wonder, Jay, if anybody on the president's national security team actually agrees with the commander in chief. Sure. And here's the troubling thing. You run down that list that you just said, the secretary of the Department of Defense, the director of the CIA, the director of the FBI, those 51 employees at the State Department. What is the key thread there, Jay? The key thread is all of those individuals have access to the data that informs, yep, these decisions. And they are taking a look at that data, and they see additional threats coming. They see, yep, additional attacks coming, and they don't want to have stayed silent. And the president, Jay, despite all of that information and all of that advice, he continues to ignore them.
KT McFarland was on with our friend Bill Hemmer and said exactly that. And folks, as we close this segment out, I want you to understand what's going on here. This is political correctness. We've laid out the case for you, but here's what KT had to say.
The people in the intelligence community I've talked to in the last week, they're spooked. They know it's coming. They know it's coming this summer.
So what Brennan was saying did not surprise them.
No.
Because, I mean, that was a clear contradiction to any other, yeah, message we had been given from the commander-in-chief last week.
And Brennan, why is he doing this? He wants to say, look, it's not my fault. I warned you guys about this. So he's trying to give himself,
really,
some political cover.
Huh.
They think something's going to happen. Mm. They don't know what. They don't have a handle on it. And they're wanting to get out in front of it, despite what the president says.
So there you have it. KT McFarland nailing it exactly correct. And this is, I think, Brennan, I don't think he was just covering himself. I think he was giving an honest assessment. I think the honest assessment was also from James Comey. This is what's going on. All right, we are, the first 30 minutes of the broadcast is over. There are multiple ways for you to engage this broadcast. We're also taking your calls at 800-684-3110. But, Logan, if people are only getting 30 minutes, you can get the full hour of the broadcast. A lot of stations are, but more can.
If you want audio only, keep the same, ACLJ.org or the ACLJ app on iPhones, iPads, or you can join us later on the Jay Sekulow Live podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, however you get your podcast. But right now, if you want to broadcast live, get a different experience, we are video streaming live on Facebook, on Periscope as well. Behind the scenes, look, you get to talk to us during the breaks. The show never ends, no commercials. Great way to do it, Facebook.com/Jay Sekulow. We got a couple lines open. Give us a call also, 1-800-684-3110.
We are close to 150,000 signatures on our genocide petition to fight genocide in the Middle East. We need your help on this, making presentations today and tomorrow. Go to ACLJ.org. That's the easiest way to do it. Sign that petition at ACLJ.org. We're going to be back with more, including your calls at 1-800-684-3110 in just a moment.
Islamic State jihadists behead, mutilate, torture, and rape Christians. The brutal toll? More than 1 million Christians have been slaughtered or displaced. We're launching a brand new multi-pronged legal advocacy campaign. Number one, stop the genocide. And number two, protect Christians. Sign on to our petition to stop the genocide and protect Christians. Call now, 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
broadcast, everyone. So the redacted statements of the FBI and the transcript of the 9/11 call, the 911 call to the police department in Orlando, has now been modified significantly. So the most of the censorship has been removed. They do not report the fact that Omar Martin did not use the word God. He used the Arabic there. He was talking in English for most of it, but he did say Allahu Akbar. So that part's true. But we knew, of course, it was the Islamic State. We knew also that it was a pledge of allegiance to ISIS. And we also know, as Jordan pointed out, that that is the requirement, not that you just pledge allegiance to ISIS, but under ISIS's doctrine, you have to pledge allegiance to the leader of ISIS, which is al-Baghdadi. So Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi. So what happened there was he played it by script. And the FBI did that redacted version per the attorney general, which ended up being an absolute fiasco when they rolled it back, mostly because you all were speaking out as well as members on Capitol Hill. So we're talking about that issue. We're talking about the cover-up, what is going on here, why the inconsistent statements. The last half hour of the broadcast, I outlined clearly that you've got John Brennan, you've got the Secretary of Defense Carter, you've got the FBI director all saying the threat level is at a certain level, that we've got that ISIS is spreading. The president says the exact opposite, as did Secretary Kerry. You decide who you want to believe, but I'm laying the evidence out for you. You want to be the jury, that's fine. I know if I was the judge where I'd be deciding. I don't think the president's telling the truth on this, or he's willfully ignorant. It's one of the two. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Let's go ahead and take a phone call.
Yep, Tony's calling from Mount Union, Pennsylvania. Been on hold for about 25 minutes. Thanks, Tony.
Hey, Tony, I'm going to send you a signed copy of Rise of ISIS. You've been on a long time. Go ahead.
Thank you.
Yep.
First, I'd like to thank you for everything you're doing. It's a wonderful service to our country.
Thank you.
Okay, I have a two-part question.
All right.
One is, has Obama ever laid out like an A to Z plan? A being, we need to take action against ISIS. Z being, we defeat ISIS. Has he ever laid out one of those plans?
No.
And two, where does this narrative fit in defeating ISIS?
Okay, so I think you've laid out a really great question. Has he laid out an A to Z plan? Absolutely, positively not. It was just a year ago he viewed them as a year and a half ago as a JV team. So, no, he has not. And so he's not laid out a plan. He has not put forward a series of engagements to eliminate this threat. We have. We presented then a 5-point plan to deal just with that. And by the way, that's up on video, too. We should play that during one of the breaks. But, then we've laid out a 5-point plan.
Yeah, we sure did. I mean, the closest the president got, Jay, was saying that we needed to contain and then essentially appease ISIS. The problem with that is, they're expanding territory, they're expanding success because of that appeasement strategy is actually directly what's fueling the recruitment for them. The terrorists see the success and they want to be a part of that caliphate. Our 5-point plan deals with a lot of things, but the very last point, Jay, is declaring war. Not just something in between. It's declaring war on ISIS and calling for their absolute eradication. It's a tough call, but it's one that Congress should take to push the president to that point.
Well, it's a tough call, Jordan, but it's a call we have to make. They've declared war on us.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, this has been specific to the Western world. There's certainly been violence in the Middle East, and there's a civil war raging in Iraq and Syria, and so we don't take away from that conflict, but the international part of this terrorism is bringing it right to our doorstep, and it's not just people coming from abroad. It's not just, refugee issues. It's also American citizens that are being recruited by the Islamic State. It's not something we can just say, well, that's happening in another part of the world. This battle, this war has come to our doorstep. It's in our neighborhoods, it's in our communities, and so we have to do something about it. You can't just say, oh, that's a bad thing happening somewhere else in the world.
We have a 5-step plan up on ACLJ.org by Professor Harry Hutchison. I encourage you to read it. It is posted on our homepage as well. We're going to have a video version of it we'll show tomorrow. We're going to have to shorten it up a little bit for the break time. All right, we're going to be taking a break. We're taking more of your calls when we come back.
That's right, 1-800-684-3110. Again, 1-800-684-3110. Those holding will get to you as well. Again, give us a call or join us on Facebook or Periscope right now. Broadcasting live during the breaks. Exclusive videos coming up right after this.
And again, we've got our genocide petition out. We encourage you to sign it. The best place to go or respond to the email I've got going out today, ACLJ.org, and sign up for our emails. You need to get them. We'll take your calls at 800-684-3110 when we come back. You're
Islamic State jihadists behead, mutilate, torture, and rape Christians. The brutal toll? More than 1 million Christians have been slaughtered or displaced. ISIS is engaged in the blatant genocide of Christians in the Middle East. We successfully pressured the Obama administration to recognize this genocide against Christians. Now we have an obligation to act under the Genocide Convention. We're launching a brand new multi-pronged legal advocacy campaign urging the U.S., UN, and world leaders to adopt our critical policy proposals. Number one, stop the genocide. And number two, protect Christians. Christians die daily at the hands of genocidal jihadists. The ACLJ is fighting back. Together, we can stop the slaughter. Sign on to our petition to stop the genocide and protect Christians. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org. Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic, How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government.
So we've got conflicting views coming from the administration on all of this, and that's about the nicest way of saying it. You could say not telling the truth. You could say falsehood. You could say skirting the evidence. But the reality is inconsistent is being kind. And the reality also is, and I think this is part of it, we have a situation right now where the government, the administration's been caught once again. And it was, by the way, not a complete, again, it was not a completely uncensored transcript because he did not say God. He said Allahu Akbar. There you have it. We're taking your calls, 800-684-3110. I said we get to those calls. We will. We got a line open to also, so 1-800-684-3110. Logan, who's next?
Blake's calling in Dallas on line four. You're on the air, Blake.
Hey, thank you for taking my call, and I appreciate you being a beacon of truth.
Sure.
The comment I had to make was that something that you've already covered, and it's this, that even when this administration is telling the truth, they lie. And they lie because they used the word God when they said, when Allah was spoken.
Right.
Allah is not God, and Muhammad is not a prophet. There's only one God, and we know him through our Lord.
Yeah, but they understand what they're doing. It's even more sinister than that. And I don't know if we have Sebastian Gorky's comment that we could just pull it up. But the fact is, an Islamic jihadist is not going to ever say the word God. That's not in the vocabulary. Let me play what Sebastian Gorka had to say. I'm going to have Jordan to comment on it, and then I got a question for Than.
He wasn't shouting, God is the greatest in English. He was shouting, Allahu Akbar. So the idea that suddenly he translates it into English for the dispatcher is absurd. Common sense won a victory against the political narrative of the DOJ, but they're still trying to fleece us. They're still conning us by saying he said God. He didn't say God to the dispatcher. He clearly said Allah.
And that's because, and they did that, Blake, because of their narrative. And Jordan, even when they released the transcript, they're still trying to cling to this narrative to not make this Islamic.
Yeah, and they by putting Allah, of course, that would, there's only one community that uses that term, the Islamic community, and so instead they try to use a generic God, which in fact is not part of the terminology in Islam, and it would be, it's more of a almost academic sounding. That it was, and that's not what this was. This was specific. It was a specific a pledge of allegiance to ISIS, a specific pledge of allegiance to Baghdadi, and a specific Islamic call of action. All three of those, which the administration first tried to remove completely and then tried to rewrite. And it still is doing that to some extent.
All right, we got some comments coming from Facebook and Periscope. I want to get to those, and I've got a question I want to ask Dan in a moment, too.
Yeah, lots of comments coming in. This is kind of what they kind of summarizes a lot of them. Patrick said, the president can't defeat radical Islam or ISIS because he won't identify them as the enemy, combat them, and take the threat seriously. That seems to be the general thoughts that are coming through social media right now.
Which sets up exactly, Than, what I wanted to ask you in that. In Washington right now, what is the reaction? I know you were in meetings yesterday on Capitol Hill. What is the reaction to all this political correctness in these departments, in these agencies, and the doublespeak we're getting from both administration officials and then from others within the administration that are completely disagreeing?
Well, I think a couple of things, Jay, and the first one is that everyone with access to information is running away from the president on this, and I think everybody needs to pay attention to it. And by the way, it's happening on both sides of the aisle. The Senate Intelligence Committee, the House Armed Services Committee, members on both sides of the aisle are concerned about the president's narrative here. But here's the other thing. They're sick and tired of this White House conveniently pointing the finger at the intelligence agencies when they are clearly directing it. There are failures within the intelligence agency, but how about deferring to the FBI and the CIA on the issue of refugees, when they say that future attacks are going to come through that stream? Josh Earnest has no problem pointing the finger at the FBI when it's convenient, but when the FBI is telling him about a future attack, he does not want to hear it. The president has chosen his own narrative instead.
I think that's precisely and exactly correct. All right, we're taking more calls at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Try to go through these as quick as we can so we can open up the last segment.
Denise in York, PA, you're on the air.
Hey, Denise.
Hi, Jay.
Hey.
I just wanted to say that they keep saying that they don't want to call them radical jihadists, but they actually are true believers. The people who are making these attacks actually believe the Quran word for word, and they are doing their job with they are taught to.
And I don't think we should use the phrase, by the way, radical Islamists anymore. And we all did it. I mean, that was what we used. I think they're jihadists. This is an army. And they're engaging like an army, and we need to treat them like an army. And they've got an army that happens to have cell groups in that army operating inside the United States and the West. And there is this general concern that we're seeing in the media, but also we're seeing this among intelligence officials, that this could be a very dangerous summer. And I think, Jordan, that kind of underscores the nature of this threat. I mean, there is serious concern within the intelligence community that we have already seen in Orlando we're going to see again. And this, again, will, I think, highlight the fact that the administration's entire plan is failing.
And for some reason, we can't stop this. And we're hearing more and more reports about people who have reported this individual in Orlando. We know about the reports in other cities, what people saw in San Bernardino and didn't say anything at shooting ranges. The idea is that the individuals and the way they were acting at work, all of them have been identified to some extent by law enforcement. They've been reviewed. They've been under some kind of surveillance. So we're not at a point where we can't figure out who these individuals are. But it's going to take a huge change in our political correct attitude as a country and nationally as well. People are going to have to choose to go this route in our political system to combat this. And what we know is that based off this election, we have Hillary Clinton, who's proposing very similar. So far, we haven't heard a lot different from what the administration's doing or any serious criticisms of their policy towards ISIS. Maybe we will, but so far we have not. And what changes would be proposed. And Donald Trump, who has proposed some more extreme measures, but not a lot of specifics either.
Yeah, and I think we're getting to the time where the specifics are going to matter for both of these candidates. All right, let's take another call.
Yeah, let's go ahead. Let's go to Joni, who's calling from Mexico.
Hey, Joni.
From Tecate, Mexico.
Hi.
Hey.
I have a couple of questions. I was wondering where Congress was right now with declaring war on ISIS.
Okay, so let me first, I'm going to go to Than on that one. But let me ask you this, Joni. You're in Mexico right now. Are you vacationing or do you live there?
We live there.
So you're watching us on Facebook?
Yep.
That is great. I mean, that is just great that we're able to get this out this broadly. You hang on the line here. We're going to go to your second question. But, Than, let's talk about where are they? Where is Congress right now? Than, of course, heads up our Office of Governmental Affairs right there in Washington. What is the latest on that?
Jay, the conversation for a new authorization for use of military force that would include a formal declaration of war against ISIS, it is gaining momentum. The main concern here is the fact that there is an existing authorization for the use of force that exists after the 9/11 attacks, and it is a very strong one. The trouble with replacing that with a new one is the fact that the president actually wants restrictions on his power. It's not something that this president wants very often, a restriction of his power, but he wants that. So while the conversation is escalating, and I think we're going to get there, Jay, the concern is they want to make sure that they don't actually take power away from the commander-in-chief while they're doing it.
I mean, understand what Than just said. that the president is not opposing another authorization. He just wants one that waters down the authorities the president is commander-in-chief, which, Jordan, frankly, is absurd.
Yeah, he wants to constrict the next president of the United States as well. So it's not just about, which is so bizarre for this president, for any president really, to try and restrict their power. That's not usually the issue with this administration or with past presidents for that matter. They usually want Congress to authorize kind of open-ended and to give them flexibility. But instead, here, you have the opposite of that. You want something that the president's put forward that would then potentially constrict the next president of the United States from doing more.
Yeah, I mean,
and it's bizarre. Usually, yeah. You know, it flies against the idea of presidential authority and power that is typically asserted by every presidential administration, but especially this one. They have no issue with the expansion of presidential power unless it comes to this issue.
I need people to – I really want to focus down this. I mean, this is critical. He wants a watered-down version of the president's own authority to engage in conflict as commander-in-chief. I mean, who does that? I mean, who would do that? Joni, I know you had another question.
Yeah, well, I was just wondering, you know, with Brennan, Carter,
yep.
Comey, all these guys,
yeah.
You know, and they're contrary to what Obama's
yep.
saying. And then Clinton, who she's kind of going along with Obama, she actually said something like that there wasn't anything that she could conceive of that would make her go to war. You know what?
Well, no, she didn't say that. To be fair, she said to put additional boots on the ground, but she even backed off on that a little bit and said she can't rule anything out. But yeah, I think, look, I you've not seen, Jordan said this, I'll let him reiterate it, we're coming up tight on a break, and I appreciate you calling in, Joni. But Jordan, there, you said it earlier, both of these candidates have to be very much more specific. The American people deserve that.
Yeah, I mean, the truth is we've heard rhetoric from these candidates, but we have not heard, for instance, from Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton. I don't think either one of them have gotten real specific on how we're going to combat ISIS, not just abroad, but also in our own country. And so it's real plans, and to get a little bit more indication of the type of people they're going to have advising them. Now, for Hillary Clinton, that's a little bit easier to put together because of her experience as Secretary of State, as a U.S. Senator in public life. For Donald Trump, you know, whoever's associated with him is pretty brand new each day, and we have not gotten many yeah. specifics from either of them.
All right, we're going into our last segment of the broadcast. You can ask us anything, including the politics of Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. We'll take all those calls. Logan will let you know how you can participate. The lines are open right now.
That's right. We have four lines open right now. 1-800-684-3110. Call now. Get your voice heard. Again, 1-800-684-3110. We'll do our best to get through each and every call in the next segment. You obviously can still comment on Facebook and Periscope, but we'd like to focus on the next segment on the caller. So.
All right, so give us a call at 800-684-3110. Again, sign on to that petition. If you're getting an email from me today, you may have. Sign that petition on genocide. We want to wrap that up at the UN the end of this week, so we really appreciate your help on that at aclj.org.
Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic, How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government. Islamic State jihadists behead, mutilate, torture, and rape Christians. The brutal toll? More than 1 million Christians have been slaughtered or displaced. ISIS is engaged in the blatant genocide of Christians in the Middle East. We successfully pressured the Obama administration to recognize this genocide against Christians. Now we have an obligation to act under the Genocide Convention. We're launching a brand new multi-pronged legal advocacy campaign urging the U.S., UN, and world leaders to adopt our critical policy proposals. Number one, stop the genocide. And number two, protect Christians. Christians die daily at the hands of genocidal jihadists. The ACLJ is fighting back. Together, we can stop the slaughter. Sign on to our petition to stop the genocide and protect Christians. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
Yes, everyone, this is our last segment of the broadcast. We're going to grab as many calls as we can. That is the Jay Sekulow Band doing the famous song, The Wait. We did a little impromptu, a couple Beatle tunes last night, about 40,000 of you have viewed that, maybe more. We've got a couple of new songs coming out over in the next couple of weeks, too, so you're going to want to stay tuned for that. But we're going to go as quick as we can and try to go through all of these calls. Logan, let's try to go in, I guess, in the order that people have been holding.
Yep, all right. Nancy is calling from Fort Myers, Florida. She's pulled in 20 minutes. Thanks, Nancy. You're on the air.
Hey, Nancy.
Hi, Jay.
Hey.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I am calling because the president has said that he's going to bring the remainder of the refugees in by he's going to expedite it by September 30th.
Yeah.
Why is he doing that?
Well, because he's running out of time, Nancy. I mean, he's just flat out running out of time. So he wants to expedite it while the FBI says we can vet them. While the CIA director, John Brennan, says not only can we not vet them, but we think that ISIS will utilize our refugee routes, that's access into the United States, as a basis of getting ISIS jihadist soldiers into the United States. So the reality is he's expediting this, Jordan and fam, because he's running out of time.
Yeah, exactly right. I mean, this is a president who is already faced a lot. You know, the focus has already been off of his presidency to some extent because of these campaigns, whether it was the primary campaigns that garnered so much attention, both on the Republican and Democrat side. Yeah. And then ultimately, yeah, it comes down to timing. I mean, he's out of office at the beginning of next year. But these kind of moves like this, it's got to happen by the fall or it's not going to happen.
So, Than, where are we congressionally on this right now? I mean, where's Congress on this issue?
Well, I love that Nancy asked about September 30th because she's got her finger on the pulse of something here, Jay. That's the end of the fiscal year, and that's the time by which Congress has to approve a new spending bill for either months or maybe even the next year. And there is real momentum in that bill to pass the pause on refugees from the region that the ACLJ has called for. So I actually think, in addition to what you said, I think the president is trying to rush this through before that September 30th date because he knows well that Congress may tie his hands statutorily after that date.
Nancy, great call, great comment. Let's take some. Could we have a couple comments coming in, Logan?
We do have some comments coming in. This comes in from Pat and Deb Dolan, who says, it bothers me that Congress is not seeing what the people are seeing.
Yep.
This comes in from James, said the administration wants to see how far they can pull the wool over our eyes, even if it has limits, if it's only to protect the real agenda. That's a lot of comments.
I think the American people feel like they got hoodwinked here, lied to, and then you've got the inconsistent statements. Secretary of State Kerry saying one thing, and then everybody else saying something, and the president saying one thing. I put Secretary of State Kerry and the president on one side and everybody else on the other, including within his own administration.
This came in from Nina. It's an interesting comment. She said, do you think going against war against ISIS will actually unify our country around 9/11?
I think it would. I think in the light of the attacks we've had in San Bernardino and in Orlando, that the declaration of war would show the seriousness upon which we're viewing this threat of ISIS. I don't think this increases their prestige within the terrorist community. They are a jihadist army. We need to treat it like that. Let's take another call.
All right. Mark is calling from El Paso. You're on the air.
Hi, Mark.
Hey, Mark. Hey, Jay. Good job on the Beatles songs yesterday.
Oh, thank you for watching. Appreciate that. We had a good time with that.
On this Obama, he's using political correctness like to just milk the political correctness tab, and he's more ego-driven for his own namesake than protecting the country, and he needs to step out of that ego thing.
Well, let me play for you what Ash Carter said. I mean, again, this is another quote from Ash Carter. And by the way, Ash Carter is the Secretary of Defense. So here's what he said.
Orlando is a reminder that all nations must do more to defeat ISIL. The sooner we deliver a lasting defeat, the safer we'll make our homeland and our people.
I mean, there you've got the Secretary of Defense, Jordan, basically saying it's a declaration of war against ISIS.
Yeah. I mean, so that's what we hear, that there's this declaration of war. But then what is the actual action? What is the specific to what we're doing in response? Are we changing any policies here in the United States? Are we changing any of our strategy to defeat ISIS in Iraq and Syria? Why are we not doing more? That's the big question, is that we're being told this by some individuals in the Obama administration, but we're being spun an entirely different story by the people who I think we can all agree are closest to the president, whether that's Josh Earnest or John Kerry, who are more in tune with the politics of this.
So, Stan, let me ask you this. Looking at a time frame of where we are, are there major initiatives being laid out right now? We laid out our 5-point plan. What's kind of been the reaction? And I know we've got to do it kind of piecemeal. Where do you see it going right now?
Sure. That September deadline we talked about just a few minutes ago, Jay, that's a key one. That is an opportunity to accomplish many of these smaller objectives, the pause on refugees, the in-region safe harbors. That's sort of a date that we're driving for on those. Quite frankly, Jay, the declaration of the war and the new authorization for the use of military force, that needs to happen sooner. I mean, that is something that should happen this month. The Congress cannot step into the shoes of the commander-in-chief as far as carrying out the war, but it's very clear that they could declare the war. They could unify the country, I think, by declaring war on ISIS. It would not be an attack on Islam as a whole. It would be clearly identifying the enemy and then tasking the commander-in-chief with eradicating them. That really should happen immediately, in my opinion.
You know, I think that's right. And again, folks, we're not just talking about it on this broadcast. We're engaging this issue at the policy level, at the legislative level, and when necessary, at the legal issue level. By the way, Supreme Court opinions are due out on, is it Thursday or Friday they're saying this week? Thursday. And we may get some on Friday. I expect some big decisions coming out this week or certainly by Monday. I think the whole thing wraps up by Monday of next week, maybe by Friday. So stay tuned for that. There will be breaking news coming on Thursday and Friday, no doubt.
All right, let's go last call. Lindsay's calling in Boise, Idaho. You're on the air.
Hi, Lindsay.
Hi, guys. Thanks for being the voice for American citizens. Our leadership and our representatives are ignoring our voices.
Well, first of all, thanks for listening. We appreciate it.
Thanks. I just wanted to point out that these last couple of years, I've been keeping an eye on the statistics of violent and sexual crime rates increasing in Sweden and Germany.
Yep.
And now that Idaho is being forced to host thousands of Muslim refugees, I'm actually starting to see firsthand the violence. And we had a little 5-year-old girl sexually assaulted in Twin Falls this month, and nothing has been done. And the citizens of Twin Falls, Idaho, are so scared. The city council meetings, nothing is being done, and the political correctness, they're ignoring us, and they're hiding behind all of this political correctness.
Yeah, and Lindsay, the statistics in Germany, you mentioned Sweden and Germany, but they are incredible what has happened. And that's because you've had a flow of refugees in without the preparation necessary to take refugees, without the kind of inculcation that needs to take place. And what we've proposed in our plans going back 6 months ago was that in-region aid, because there are safe zones in the region, needs to be the focus of this. And Jordan, at the end of the day, we've been to this region. The in-region aid would be much more successful for these people, for the individuals that are really being harmed, and it de-escalates the terrorism threat. But in-region aid also is better for the individuals. Ultimately.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, the majority of these individuals will have somewhere to return to when this conflict is over.
Yes.
The groups that won't are the Christians, the Yazidis, where entire communities have been destroyed. But for the majority who are Muslim, when this conflict is ultimately resolved, they will be the ones that return to places in Syria, in Iraq, and return to these areas, and they'll be able to live their lives when the conflict is over. And that's why if you could put these safe zones in, it would be much more successful.
Folks, we have an email that's out right now on the genocide issue. We want your support at ACLJ.org. But Logan's going to let you know multiple ways very quickly here you can get the information from the ACLJ on a multiple source.
Right. ACLJ.org, easiest way to do it. But you also get the ACLJ app available on Apple devices. It's iPhones, iPads, Apple TV, now available. Roku, also available for the JSEC-YLO ACLJ channel. You get to watch these videos, movies, so much more too. ACLJ.org.
Islamic State jihadists behead, mutilate, torture, and rape Christians. The brutal toll? More than 1 million Christians have been slaughtered or displaced. We're launching a brand new multi-pronged legal advocacy campaign. Number one, stop the genocide. And number two, protect Christians. Sign on to our petition to stop the genocide and protect Christians. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or you can add your name online, aclj.org.